This is Newtown Arts Company's Backstage Buzz, a podcast for arts enthusiasts about all things stage and sometimes screen. Join us for lively conversations about the behind-the-scenes bustle at Newtown Arts Company and in the industry beyond. I'm your host, Emily Advani. Founded in 1983, Newtown Arts Company is dedicated to supporting the theater arts in the heart of Bucks County, Pennsylvania. This mission is accomplished through the production of family-friendly live theater, the granting of scholarships, and the development of theater arts education. Newtown Arts Company is committed to entertaining and moving audiences, as well as offering an inclusive and inspiring creative experience to volunteers, both on stage and behind the scenes. In this episode, we welcome Shannon O'Neill to the show. Shannon is an actor, improviser, and overall creative person living in NYC. She has been a part of the legendary Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York City for more than 20 years. You've seen her on High Maintenance, The Other Two, and Broad City, amongst other projects. She's been an instructor for Newtown Arts Company and Newtown Theater's Master Class Monday. We chat with Shannon about her experiences teaching improv, and she even walks me through an improv exercise on air. Take a listen. Shannon, welcome to Backstage Buzz.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Shannon, before we hear about your experiences with Newtown Arts Company and the Newtown Theater, we want to hear about your career. Tell us about it.
It'll be 24 years ago in June was my first class at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. And that was really my first dive into performing. I was kind of like a goof in high school, and in college I had taken one acting class and I did some kind like news, on air news stuff, but just for like my cable station, and it wasn't that spectacular. And I just fell in love with improv. I didn't really know what I was getting into, but I wanted to try it. And then that kind of just like got me interested in performing and writing. And then I slowly but surely built a little career with improv as my base creative talent. And I found myself finally getting to audition for stuff and getting an agent and all that jazz. So people may have seen me on Broad City, The Other Two, High Maintenance. There's a cult show called The Chris Gethard Show I was on for a while. So I kind of like pop up on a few different things here and there. But that's been my career in New York City in a nutshell.
Shannon, what I love about what you just said is that you sort of had one talent that your career sort of built itself around, because as with a lot of performers, you certainly have many talents and have been involved in multiple things. Like you said, you have the improv, acting, of course, the writing. Are there certain projects that you've been involved in that are particularly memorable to you, or maybe something you're particularly proud of?
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful, and they're all collaborative projects for the most part. I did do a one-person show, but that was also very collaborative. I needed the help of someone who was really good with graphic design and video, and then I also needed a couple people to be my co-stars to help make that thing run. So everything I've done that I'm proud of is definitely like very collaborative. The first thing that pops in my head is this very bizarre show that myself and a few other UCB improviser friends put on called Fear Bazaar. And it was a Halloween time show that we only did for one day, but we did six shows in one day, but it was a very like immersive experience, and it was very wild, and it involved a lot of the community to participate in. So the conceit was, if you came to the show, like you would probably face some of your own fears. And some of those fears were like sitting at the bar and someone who really loves artisanal beer will like sit next to you and talk to you about it all night long. So we would like get an improviser who like loved beer and would just like talk to a stranger about beer. I had one friend was one of my best friends to this day. is from Staten Island, and at the time I actually didn't know him, but we had him just stand in line like he had just found the place and just like talked in his thick Staten Island accent, like, "What is this place? Oh my God, I'm gonna check," like just like really loud and probably annoying. And we had it got more complicated. I mean, there was other things like someone dressed as Trump, I think, at one point behind a curtain. I don't know. It was just like, and every year it changed. We did it for like 3 years, but it usually involved about like 40 people and the wrangling of that. And they weren't all available for every show, so we might have one person being the beer bro, as we called them, for like two shows, and then a new person would come in for the next one, or we wouldn't even have that one for like every single show. So it was like every single one was different, and it was just this beautiful controlled chaos. And probably that's probably one of my favorite things, because people will still talk about it or have memories of it to this day. And we did it, I think, 3 years in a row. Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. Like, very few people have heard of it, but it's one of my favorite memories.
We'll talk about breaking down the fourth wall. So sort of that combination of real life and performance. And I like that somebody's fear was about talking artisanal beers. I mean, how about that? And getting the community involved. And what this reminds me of, honestly, is the Newtown Arts Company, which really takes a lot of community engagement and breaking down that fourth wall, I think, in multiple ways to get the community involved in theater, to expose audiences and students of all levels, all experience levels, all ages, and involve them in the theater. And one of those ways is through Masterclass Monday. And you have been an instructor at Masterclass Monday, two times now through two series. What brings you to teaching? What got you into Masterclass?
Well, teaching, I started teaching improv going on almost, well, I guess in 2005. I'll just do it that. Everyone else can do the math. That was the first time I was teaching improv officially for the UCB. And what's interesting is I actually went to college. My original major was elementary special ed, was what I went to college originally for. I dropped that just because it wasn't feeling right, and I just realized that I kind of I don't know, just wasn't. It was just like, oh, it was just a choice I made, because when you're 18, you really don't know what you want to do. And then I kind of fell into doing a communications broadcasting major. But when this idea came up of like this thing that I was learning and loving so much that I could also then teach that to people, was I was like, oh, this is really fun. And so I started to just do something where you kind of like independently teach. So it's like coaching. So there's like a group of people. They already have an improv team, and you can step in and run exercises with them and help them out and give them notes. And then you kind of work on your skills and build that up. And then I got to become a teacher at UCB. And I found that so fulfilling, because I like that every 8 weeks, I get 8 weeks or so, I get a new class, and I get to see them from day one. Class one to class eight, and see growth, see change. Some's a little bit, some's a lot. And it's just something that I think is really fun to watch, as people see their efforts that they're putting into the craft, see the reward they're getting, see when things like click for them. Also, watch them get frustrated and then figure out how to work through that frustration and find the fun again. So I eventually then found, I've been, teaching now for so long, and I've learned a lot. Obviously, I'm a much better teacher now than I was in 2005. I'd be curious to go. I wish if I had a time machine, I might want to go back and be a fly on the wall to like actually see what I was doing back then. I'm sure my confidence was not as high, but now I, take real pride in my teaching. And so when I was approached about coming to do the master class, and it was, outside the city in Pennsylvania where I'm from, it felt like, oh, this could be like a really neat opportunity to spread the joy of improv a bit, and maybe give some students a little spark of like, ooh, maybe I'll try that in a more formal way after this. Like, here's a little, taster course. Or just take something away from it that they can use outside of it, you know, just in one class. Maybe take one little lesson that'll help them, whether it's in their performance or in their life.
Well, and Shannon, I feel like teaching, especially as a performer, sort of opens up a whole new love of the craft to be able to sort of share that and spread that. And you got to a few things that I wanted to ask you about today. And you know, one of those things is what are you trying to accomplish in your classes or with your students? You have a wealth of experience teaching, and like I said, you were at MasterClass 2 times. When you're in a class of students, what is it that you're looking to accomplish? And I would imagine that's different over an 8-week period or, you know, a one session, but is there sort of the heart of what you're trying to do with your students?
Yeah, I think like one core thing in improv is it's very collaborative. So it's hopefully showing someone that if you work with someone in an agreeable way, you're going to find that you accomplish more than if you hold on to your own kind of ideas too tightly. So a scene is going to be a lot more successful. And me, my scene partner and I will get way more compliments if we are actively working together to make something fun together, as opposed to me working hard to make myself look good only. So that's one thing that we try to, and that's just a basic rule of like yes and, which is I'm gonna agree, or slash embrace what my scene partner has said to me, and I'm gonna add to it in some way. So it's just a constant like give and take to hopefully finding and creating something really fun and enjoyable for both the audience or yourself within that exercise.
I mean, to me, that's the heart of life itself, right? That collaboration, working with other people, you know, not necessarily trying to push yourself out front, as the best performer, but working with your fellow performers on stage to accomplish something even greater than you maybe would by yourself. And these skills are obviously important to performers, to actors, artists, improv artists, but there are other students that show up in improv classes. Tell me about how these improv skills that you work on and you teach can transcend the stage or the screen.
Improv is a lot about like also being in the moment. So when just life in general, anything that you're doing, when you're in the moment, you're taking things in, you know? So it's you're observing life a little bit better. You're not worried about what's happening next or what happened before. It's like what's happening now and how can I just live in that? So whether it is being successful on stage or screen is about like being in the moment, but like in life, it's also like if you can just be in the moment, which is hard, it'll allow you a little bit more for growth or observation or even I think like some empathy for people just being like, okay, we're both here together right now. We just both need to be here together right now, not worry about what is going to happen, but what we can do in the moment. I feel like some kind of cult guru talking about this, but it's, I don't know. It's made me be not all the time, but allowed me as a person to kind of take in and enjoy the moments more.
Well, improv is a very specific experience, and I think for somebody who hasn't experienced that, you know, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around, but when you sort of have that like breakthrough moment where you either do something you didn't know you could do, or a scene goes where you didn't know it was going to go, or you do get the laughs or the claps after, you know, trying something that you were unsure of, there's sort of this magic in that is different than maybe other art forms. Kind of looking at your classes, you teach young artists and adults, so especially in MasterClass, there's two sections. There's young kids and there are adults. Do you tailor your teaching style to these two audiences differently? Is there something you're trying to accomplish that's different between these two groups? Do they treat you differently? What is there a difference between the adults and the kids?
I mean, yeah, 100%. The kids are definitely don't, I guess even adults, you don't, not everyone really knows who they are, but the kids are, there's like a much, it's a little more of, they are more free spirited. Like they go for it sometimes. Sometimes they're like in their little cliques and making each other laugh. And so it's me just embracing that and just being like, this is who you are. So it's like these two came together. So yeah, they're going to want to go together. So I'll let them go together. But then I also might break them up and be like, you know what? It's going to be good for you two to do improv or play with other people because you can't lean on each other. You got to learn how to lean on other people. So I try to like, you know, instill that kind of with like the kids, but they're not always going to listen as well because they're kids. They have, you know, there's, who knows if there's someone in the class that's like new to them. There's definitely kids that are so like, I've had like real social butterflies, and that's like in a positive, it's like, you know, like being very welcoming to everyone. And there's like, there might be a younger kid that's like a little bit more shy. So like, I have to like treat them differently without them knowing it, right? I want to make sure that that shy person isn't feeling overwhelmed with any exercises, but also want to make sure that they get something out of it. And I don't want them to feel like they're on the spot. So it's like, how can I make the different lemming kids, you know, I forget what the ages are that I have in the master class, but it's so widely different because you don't know who's going through what, you know? Some kids are seem more adult-like and more childlike, and they could be the same age. So it's a little bit more of like paying attention to that. It's a little bit of like a guidance counselor aspect to it, if that makes sense. Making sure that I'm giving the individual kids, focusing on that a bit. And the adults are all, they can handle themselves. I'm not, worried as much about them, you know, worried about like fitting in or feeling like, you know, feeling like too silly or, you know, not in control. So there's like definitely like, yeah, a difference in that. And the exercises are almost the same, but I do have like a few different things that I'll might do some maybe like sillier things with the kids to make them, you know that they're having a lot more fun because I think kids like to play games a little bit more. Where for the adults, I can run some more strict exercises that they are will get be able to get more out of just based on, you know, their life experience and stuff.
And
Got long-winded, but yeah,
no.
I don't know psychology, but I kind of just try to like, yeah, student by student, be like, what is this? You can't teach everyone the same way. So it's like, how can I adjust things for what I can get out of, you know, this 90-minute session with a kid. I can, you know, kind of tell who's really shy and make sure that they get involved because they might not volunteer. So I have to kind of gently volunteer them without them knowing that they didn't volunteer.
Well, Shannon, your job as an improv teacher sounds a lot like improv.
Yeah, exactly.
You're improving, you're observing, you're being in that moment and taking in observations. That's really fascinating to me. And you know, as we're talking about students, adults or you know, younger students, do you have a story, and this could be from masterclass or could be from any of your teaching experiences, that you've witnessed sort of a breakthrough moment or an aha moment in a student?
They happen all the time. And sometimes it just takes, we call it side coaching, where as the scene is going, I'll just kind of give a student a quick little like note or some guidance, to almost like help them like whatever, get the scene on track or help them see like what they need to do or could do to help make them feel like they know what's going on. Because you can easily get lost in a scene when you're like making it up on the spot. So when I see someone who like seems lost and then I just make a slight adjustment if I'm just like, oh, establish who you are to each other. And they do that and then you see them able to finish the scene. They're like, oh yeah. Like it's like just helping them feel good by a little note often happens. But I mean I see things click for people all the time. So it's not yeah, there's not it's not like an uncommon thing that happens, but I can't think of anything specific.
Now, this one I didn't prepare you with, but again, let me
Okay.
just test your skills out here. Is there an improv exercise that you could do with me over audio on this podcast right now? Is there an exercise you could do, or maybe if we can't engage in it, one that somebody could try at home?
Yeah, let's try this. So this is, I actually just did this last night with some of my students. It's a common one to just get the idea is that at the top of our, when we're improvising, you just want to like keep things at the very beginning, especially when we're learning early on, just keep things simple. Oftentimes people try to complicate things too fast. Kind of like in life, like just start simple and like build something off of it. So we can do a robot scene, which means I will say I am, and then I'll label myself. So I might say I'm a teacher, and then you'll say I am, and just say somebody that would be hanging out with a teacher. It could be a fellow teacher, it could be a student, whatever. And then I'll say where we are, you'll say what we're doing, and then I'll say how I feel, and you'll say how you feel, and then we'll just do a quick scene. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm gonna roll with it
Okay.
here. Okay.
Yeah, so people could do this at home. So I'll say, I am a coffee barista. We are at the at a locally owned coffee shop.
And I say how I'm feeling. Is that the next?
You say what are we doing?
I am waiting for the coffee that I just ordered, and you are preparing that coffee.
Great. I'm feeling rushed. And then you say how you're feeling.
I am feeling completely unrushed on cloud nine, rainbows and butterflies.
Great. And now we would go into the scene. So I'm like, okay, sorry, ma'am. I know you got places to go, and my job is to help you get there and to caffeinate you. I'll just be another minute.
Oh, I have all the time in the world. You take your time. So, what have you been up to? What is it that you do outside of this job?
Okay, I don't know if I'm sensing sarcasm. I'm really bad at reading sarcasm, but yep, customer. I gotta serve the customer. Says it right there. Outside of work, I like to go to creeks and count salamanders. I like to sometimes I just sit on my front porch and I shut my eyes and I try and guess what the sounds are.
Oh, well, those
Okay, is
all
that,
sound
yeah.
like such wonderful things. I'd love to just sit and chat. I mean, I have nowhere to be this morning. I'm so lucky. No appointments, nothing. I could just hang out all day. I'm so excited to be here. This is my favorite coffee shop. So you count salamanders? What exactly is a salamander? Is it like a lizard, or is that something different?
Yeah, it's a we call them suburban lizards. That's what we call them at my house. They're just yeah, tiny little gecko lizards that live under rocks, live in the water and stuff. Okay, wow, shoot, was that
So
oat milk, soy milk?
have you thought about doing something else besides being a barista? I mean, it sounds like you're into science. Maybe we could talk about what kind of career you'd like. I'd happy to talk that through with you.
Wow, I have 6 more coffees that I have to make. You wanted oat milk, right? Oat milk? That's what I got here for you. This is your, here you
Oh,
go.
you know what? That's not even what I ordered. I didn't order oat milk.
Oh.
It was probably me distracting you. Maybe if you could make me another one. It wasn't oat milk, it was soy milk, but I have all the time in the world. So if
Oh.
you want to just remake that for me, I'm in no rush.
Okay. Great. All right, I need to go count to 10 in the back, and I'll be right back. Yay, scene.
And scene.
It
Well, thank you for
was kind of
taking
like
me
that.
through that. Yes, I feel
People
like,
can do that at home.
yes, with friends, family, over cocktail or
Sure.
with your kids.
Yeah, with your kids. That sounds like a good one.
But definitely a way to sort of, like you said, keep things simple but start to break the ice.
Yeah.
I have to admit, my palms were sweating a little bit right before I asked that question, but I was like, I'm going to do it and be brave. So I also have the magic of post-editing if I want, but I promise our listeners I won't do that for that scene, so they can hear the full sense of the improv. When you're thinking about your classes and your students of all types, so those who want to be performers, those at the beginning of their careers, or some who just are exploring improv on the side just to get a feel for it, what is one piece of advice you would want to leave with your students?
Oh, I mean, the big thing I always remind them of is that failure is very important when you're learning any new skill or craft. So I almost request that my students fail in class because that means they're trying. They're not trying to be perfect. They're actually approaching something from a vulnerable place, being like, well, I'm going to try this and I know I might fail. But from that, I'm going to get a lesson out of it. So that's the thing. I think it's really important just to embrace failure and encourage it in your life. It's not bad to fail when you're going to get, like, learn a lesson or get better at something. There's no way anyone, Picasso didn't fail. You can listen to any artist and ask, and I mean, I think failure is like a big talking point these days, but a lot of people can talk about their failures and how they got a lot out of those, way more than like doing something successfully. Need those failures to get to the success.
Failure's almost where where all the magic happens, where the growth happens, and
Yeah.
where you can take something from those moments to build on
Yeah.
yourself.
And a great thing of we say in improv also is that there's no mistakes in improv because you have a people there to back up whatever you've just said. So if you say something that is like, uh-oh, like just like sounds off, or you have a brain fart, you have your scene partners to just take that, spin it into gold, and make it seem like it was supposed to happen.
I was about to say, when you were saying that, sort of the mistakes in improv are sort of windows or doors into maybe a path that you didn't see coming.
Yeah, totally, absolutely.
Now, Shannon, we got to chat a little bit today, but is there anything that we didn't chat about that you'd want to talk about?
I mean, if people want to check out some improv, if they're not really seeing it, they can go to ratscraps.com. That's a show that I run. It goes up every Sunday, but we also live stream it. So we have folks that are watching from all over the US. I think we have some international fans as well, but you can stream the show and watch it. So if you're interested to see what improv, long form improv is, what's happening in the bowels of New York City, you can check that out and support some artists that are trying to live their lives in New York City.
And I will make sure to put all of that information in the description of our podcast,
Amazing.
along with information about Masterclass Monday at Newtown Arts. And Shannon, we hope you will come back for another series. I know you came with rave reviews, so we're so happy to have you back twice. And thank you so much for this great conversation today.
Yes, I'm glad we finally made it happen. Thank you so much for having me.
This has been another episode of Newtown Arts Company's Backstage Buzz. Again, I'm Emily Vani. For more about Newtown Arts Company, visit www.newtownartscompany.com and tune in again as we chat all things stage and sometimes screen.